Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to the new voice of Conservative Talk Radio. Unafraid and aggressive, he will take on anyone, including Republicans. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready and visit him on the web at aaronmccready.com.
Well, here we are again. John is manning the phone lines, and I am manning the microphone. I am Aaron McCready. Tonight we are talking about Syria and Obamacare. But before we get into that, I'd like to take a minute and remember all of those who were victims of 9/11. We must not only remember each person who lost his or her life, but also their friends and family members. Friends and families are in some ways more of a victim than the person who died. Friends and families are the ones who must carry on. The little boy or girl that no longer has a mom or dad. The husband or wife that lost the love of their life. Little girls growing up not having daddy to walk her down the aisle. We must also remember the children that died as well. These deaths left an unimaginable hole in their loved ones' lives. And we must remember 9/11 and the lessons we learned. We cannot let it fade over time. We must always carry on so that the legacy of the 3,000 Americans who were killed and the family members survives the test of time. We must never forget the cost of freedom. And one more thing that was brought to my attention, that a high school in Tennessee, they have a football team, and on this football team, there are some members of the team that when they go home from school on Friday, they may not eat again until Monday when they're back at school. And this particular school cannot afford to provide their players a pregame meal before the game. Now, a pregame meal to some may not sound important, but you know, to me this is important because that's one more meal that these students, these football players that won't be eating over the weekend. That's one more meal that they get. Now, one way I'd like you to help, and I've never asked for your help before, but tonight I am. But a local restaurant there, they've came up with an agreement that for $220, that's tax, everything included, that will supply the entire team a pregame meal before each game. Now, we only need 6 pregame meals. The other ones have been donated and covered. But if you or your business can help, email me directly and I'll get you in touch with that restaurant and representatives from the school even. But it's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at AaronMcCready.com. Again, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at Aaron McCready, AaronMcCready.com. I mean, my goodness, after all, we're Americans. You know, let's chip in and help. You know, it's only $220, and it's going for a great cause. And, you know, you'll be helping to feed some people that would not even be able to get to eat for 3 days straight, and feeding all their team members as well. Now, let's get on with the show. One thing that I want to talk about, and if you want to be a part of the show, as you heard, give me a call, 646-200-3400, 646-200-3400. We're also being heard around the world on blogtalkradio.com in every country in the nation. So, with that being said, oh, and you can also go on to our online chat on blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready. It'll pop you right in there. And we've got John manning the phones and John manning the online chat, and I can see that too. So if you have any questions, hop in there, and then you can visit me on the web, AaronMcCready.com, or go to Twitter at Aaron McCready. But let's get on with it now. I want to talk about Syria, and then the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Obamacare. But, you know, one thing that I think that we need to cover, and it, too many Americans, they don't even know about Syria. You know, I know some of you do, some of you may not. But, you know, just to cover the basics real quick, Syria, of course, it's in the Middle East, and it's on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, it's about three times the size of Washington State, with 22 million people. It's very diverse religiously, and I think that's part of the problem there. They're in a civil war, and these different factions are just going at each other. And there's government forces and rebels, and they've killed more than 100,000 people. And there's 2 million refugees going to the country surrounding Syria, and half of them are children. And all this killing started in 2011, and there were some protests, and these killings actually were inspired by Egypt and Tunisia when they had their rebellions. And, you know, one thing that I've noticed with the Middle East is everything spreads like wildfire up there. I mean, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do, I guess. And it's just horrifying. I mean, one thing happens in the Middle East, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and it's all connected. I mean, it's almost like those countries can't think for themselves. I mean, that's what it seems like. I mean, you know, I'm just saying how it is. I don't care if people get offended. I don't care if people get upset with me. I say it how it is. And look at the Middle East. You know, we go over there, and, you know, whether you like that we went into Iraq or not, we went into Iraq and tried to bring democracy. And some people may call it nation building. I call that freeing a repressed people from Saddam Hussein, that he also gassed his own people, killed his own people. He was a brutal dictator. You know, when Saddam Hussein was captured, and you saw all these statues of Saddam Hussein come crumbling down, pictures being spray painted over, ripped off, you know, we were trying to spread democracy. That was a sign that we freed a repressed country, suppressed country. And, you know, but what happened? They got what they wanted, and then they turned on the people that helped them. Look how long we stayed in Iraq. You know, and that brings me to another point. Should we go into Syria to help them out? Or would we go in and we topple this regime, and then as soon as they get what they want, they turn on us? But then you have John Kerry that says things like this. Listen to what John Kerry says, and we'll talk about it.
Now, I believe that the aftermath of the Iraq experience and Afghanistan leave a lot of people saying, we don't want to see our young people coming back in a body bag and so forth. But that's not what we're talking about. And what we have to do is make clear to people that this is, we're not talking about war. We're not going to war. We will not have people at risk in that way. We will be able to hold Bashar Assad accountable without engaging in troops on the ground or any other prolonged kind of effort in a very limited, very targeted, very short-term effort that degrades his capacity to deliver chemical weapons without assuming responsibility for Syria's civil war. That is exactly what we're talking about doing. Unbelievably small, limited kind of effort.
Now, Who in their right mind would tell somebody what an attack is going to be? Unbelievably small? Really? A limited attack? Really? And he says there's not going to be boots on the ground. So let me pose this question to all of you out there. And if you want to join the conversation, 646-200-3400. We'll take you on right now. But let me pose this question to you. They keep saying no boots on the ground, no boots on the ground. But what happens if we have a fighter jet flying over and they have a rocket-propelled grenade and it hits one of our fighter planes and that plane goes down? We are the United States. We are not going to let that pilot or that crew of that aircraft in the United States military fend for themselves. We're going to send a reconnaissance crew in there to try to get them. Now, I'm going to pose this question to you. When that crew gets in there and they're searching for our pilot, and God forbid he doesn't get captured, and that's a whole nother scenario, what happens if something happens to this reconnaissance crew? We're going to have all kinds of people in there. So you cannot guarantee us, John Kerry, Secretary Kerry, President Obama, you cannot guarantee us that there's not going to be boots on the ground. We had this conversation on the last show with Jack Caravelli. He has a good friend that retired as a two-star general, and his friend, that's the general, said, war is not neat and clean. Things happen that you don't expect. And we're not going to war. Let me ask you a question. If a missile landed from another country in your neighborhood, and it was from another country, wouldn't you consider that war? I mean, this administration is so unbelievably stupid. They're saying what's going to happen. It's absolutely ridiculous what they're doing. I've never, ever heard anything like this. And, you know, this comes from the same person that says we're going to attack and make an unbelievably small effort. Now, this comes from the same person that ran for president back in 2004 against George Bush. Thank goodness after we heard all this that he lost. Whether you like George Bush or not, that's one thing. But thank goodness Kerry lost. But I want to play something. Zell Miller, a former governor of Georgia, he's a Democrat. He spoke at the Republican National Convention that year. And I want you to hear what he had to say about John Kerry. This is something that Zell Miller said about John Kerry, and it's 100% accurate. It talks about his record as a senator. And just listen to this. It's a little bit long, so bear with me, but I think you'll find it entertaining.
Wrong. And no pair has been more wrong, more loudly, more often than the two senators from Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy and John Kerry. Together, Kennedy and Kerry have opposed the very weapon system that won the Cold War and that are now winning the war on terror. Listing all the weapon systems that Senator Kerry tried his best to shut down sounds like an auctioneer selling off our national security. But Americans need to know the facts. The B-1 bomber that Senator Kerry opposed dropped 40% of the bombs in the first 6 months of enduring freedom. The B-2 bomber that Senator Kerry opposed delivered airstrikes against the Taliban in Afghanistan and Hussein's command post in Iraq. The F-14A Tomcats that Senator Kerry opposed shot down Qaddafi's Libyan MiGs over the Gulf of Sidra. The modernized F-14D that Senator Kerry opposed delivered missile strikes against Tora Bora. The Apache helicopter that Senator Kerry opposed took out those Republican Guard tanks in Kuwait in the Gulf War. The F-15 Eagles that Senator Kerry opposed flew cover over our nation's capital and this very city after 9/11. I could go on and on and on against the Patriot missile that shot down Saddam Hussein's Scud missiles over Israel, against the Aegis air defense cruiser, against the Strategic Defense Initiative, against the Trident missile, against. This is the man who wants to be the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces. U.S. Forces armed with what? Spitballs?
Maybe that's why we're going to have an unbelievably small attack if we were to attack somebody. Because if John Kerry had his way, the current Secretary of State, John Kerry wouldn't even have us armed. Did you hear all that, what John Kerry voted down, tried to? So this is the same John Kerry that said we kill women and children in the dark of night, the military does. The same John Kerry that was so ashamed of his country in Vietnam that he went to the White House and threw his medals over the White House fence. That's our Secretary of State. And that's the one that says he wants an unbelievably small, that's going to be unbelievably small attack. John Kerry, with all due respect, you should resign. You don't know what you're doing. You're not as smart as you think you are. You need to resign, and I hope you're listening right now. And we have Assad over there, and he says to expect everything if we attack. So we have a horrible, horrible human being in Assad over there. And so he says if we attack that we could expect everything. And I'm going to play that for you, what he said. But let me ask you this. If you have a dictator that's going to tell you to expect everything, that nothing is off the table if you attack his country, you are still going to go on TV and tell the nation and tell people that we're going to have an unbelievably small attack. You've got to be kidding me. Here, take a listen to Assad and Charlie Rose's interview.
Will there be attacks against American bases in the Middle East if there is an airstrike?
You should expect everything. You should expect everything. Not necessarily through the government. It's not only the governments are not the only player in this region. You have different parties, you have different factions, you have different ideology. You have everything in this region now. So you have to expect that.
Tell me what you mean by expect everything.
Expect every action.
Including everything. Chemical warfare?
That depends. If the if the rebels or the terrorists in this region or any other group have it, it could happen, I don't know. I'm not fortune teller to tell you what's going to happen.
But we'd like to know more, and I think the president would like to know, American people would like to know, you know, if there's an attack, you know, what might be the repercussions and who might be engaged in those repercussions.
Before the 11th of September, in my discussions with many officials in the United States, some of them are congressmen, I used to say that don't deal with the terrorists playing games. It's a different story. You're going to pay the price if you're not wise.
You know, I'm sorry. I can't listen to his voice anymore. But you get the point. Expect everything. But then, we can expect everything, but he can only expect an unbelievably small attack. You know, we have the president that Republicans are turning against him. Well, they've always been against him. But Democrats are starting to turn against him. Media is starting to turn against him. This president has the lowest approval rating than Bush did right now. Do you hear that? President Barack Obama has the lowest approval rating than George W. Bush did right now. And you know what? Our President of the United States, when it comes to Syria, forget that he's a Democrat, forget that he's Republican. I don't care what he is. I don't care if he's a man from Mars as president. Our President of the United States, Barack Obama, looks totally like an incompetent fool. And Russia's Vladimir Putin, the President of Russia, he looks like a statesman. And Putin's nothing but a thug. He doesn't want people to have rights. He wants to take Russia back to the good old days, back to the Soviet Union. But what in the world's going on when the United States can't come up with a plan? Oh, wait, we did have a plan, but then John Kerry walked that back and Russia picked up on it. John Kerry said, the fabulous John Kerry said, well, maybe I need to call him Tomato John, since his wife's part of the Heinz fortune. So let's say Tomato John. Tomato John said in an interview that we probably would not attack or retaliate if he would give up all his chemical weapons. Well, then he got pressured by that, and I don't know if he got his hand slapped by the president. I don't know what happened. But then guess what Putin did? Came up with the same plan pretty much. And now look, I've got a New York Times article here that says Syria takes steps to join weapons treaty as the U.S.-Russian talks begin. And it just starts. This is by Michael Gordon and Steve Myers from the New York Times. But it starts, Secretary of State John Kerry and a team of American arms control experts began talks with Russian counterparts Thursday on a plan to secure and dispose of Syria's chemical arsenal. And he set an early test for the Syrian leader by insisting on quick disclosure of the weapons as the country announced it had joined a treaty banning their use. And then Putin, I think it was in the, please forgive me, but I think it was in the New York Times, had a New York Times editorial today, either today or yesterday. My days run together, I'm sorry. But I had an editorial, and he's looking like a statesman. Vladimir Putin. What's going on? This is driving me up the wall. I mean, you know, and then right now, because of our lack of being consistent and sending the message to the world that we're going to do what we say, right or wrong, we're going to do what we say. We say we're going to attack, and then here we are, so we still haven't attacked. But you know what that does to the enemy? It buys time. Last week we said, oh, we're going to take a vote on it on Wednesday. Give them another week to prepare. And there's some reports that's coming out that says that these chemical weapons are slowly making their way and moving, guess what, to Iraq and Lebanon. Lebanon. Now, let's go back a few years. Before we started the Iraq war, all the intelligence said that Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. Democrats and Republicans both authorized the president to go in to Iraq because intelligence said he has chemical weapons. We go in there, we can't find anything. Okay, let's fast forward again. Now, Syria has chemical weapons. There's reports now that those chemical weapons are making it over to Iraq and Lebanon. Are you with me here? Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe those chemical weapons did go from Iraq to Syria. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not trying to cause a conspiracy. I'm just asking. And now what's going to happen? Syria is giving their chemical weapons maybe back to Iraq. Now what's going to happen in Iraq? You see what I said at the top of the hour? It's just like a circle. Everybody does what everybody else does over there. They have no mind of their own. It's ridiculous. and we go over there, try to spread democracy, free people, and then they turn their back on us? You know, before the show and before our last show, I actually opened up the last show that I didn't know what to do in regards to Syria. I don't know if we should go in there. Because the United States needs to be looked up to as, you know, the conscience of the world. We used to be looked at like that. People used to think of us as the moral authority of the world. So, you know, when men, women, children are getting gassed, you know, I can see us going in there and helping out, trying to put it to a stop. But then again, you know, can we really afford to do that? But before I tell you what has just, I just had an epiphany on what I think about Syria, what we should do. But before I tell you that, I'm just going to play a short little bit of this. And I'm going to warn you, this is very graphic. It's actually the video that's online. This is from CNN. And this reporter from CNN, and his name escapes me right now, but this reporter from CNN is describing the videos that Obama showed members of Congress to try to make his case to have a strike on Syria. And it shows victims of this gas attack. There's several, I think there's seven different videos, I believe. But we're not, this is over a 6-minute clip. We're not going to listen to the entire clip, just the first little bit. But this is what the Syrian people went through.
The Obama administration is showing them to members of Congress as they hope to build a case to support military strikes against the Assad regime. We're going to show you the videos right now, walking you through them very quickly. I want to first caution viewers that some of the images in these videos, in fact, all of the images in these videos, are disturbing. But we are showing them to you because the nation is about to make a very momentous decision. We have seen a lot of video out there of alleged barbarity by Syrian rebels. This is also part of the debate, what is being shown to members of the Senate intelligence community. So here is video number one of the 13. It was shot, filmed on the date of the chemical weapons attack, the intelligence community says, in Jabar, which is outside Damascus in Syria. It focuses on a little boy, maybe 8 years old, in a room full of what appear to be dead and dying Syrians. We'll go to video two now. This video is about a minute 20 seconds long. It was shot in eastern Ghouta. It shows a man, if we can go to video two, it shows a man having a chemical reaction. This is, I'm still looking at, there he is, in video two, having a man having a chemical reaction, it appears, vomiting. Those who have seen the video in the intelligence community say that this is consistent. These are symptoms consistent with an attack of a nerve agent, a chemical weapon. There's also a little girl who appears in this video in a yellow shirt. She's
for a few minutes. Just bear with me. It's going to come back on. But I'm trying to make a point here, and just bear with me. I'm going to tell
you what also appears to be having a reaction. Video number three of the 13 shown to the Senate intelligence community was allegedly filmed in Douma outside Damascus. It starts off with some night vision video. The intelligence community told the senators that for outdoor videos, they were able to compare the videos with overhead imagery and verify the terrain is legitimate. These are bodies of Syrians. And video number four of the 13 is approximately 51 seconds. It shows close-ups of eyes of Syrians who appear dead or dying from this chemical weapon attack. But no one disputes happened. The question, of course, is who did it.
You know, and you can find this video online. But what if I would have played it further? And if you would see the video on YouTube or however you want to see it, there's little kids on the ground convulsing with foam coming out of their mouths. Kids running around screaming because their mom and dad's dead. They won't wake up. There's men begging their dead children to get up and walk again. That's what the Syrian people went through. We're going to take a news break, and I'll tell you right after we get back from the news exactly what I think we should do about Syria. We'll be right back.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Too much rain in Colorado.
It hasn't quit now. What is it, 3 or 4 days?
All that water causing a lot of damage, and it has proven to be deadly. We get the latest live from Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal.
Ron, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper says disaster declarations have been made, and they are asking for emergency declarations from FEMA, too.
We'll see what the data tells us, but this could easily be a 50- or 100-year flood.
He says offers of assistance have been pouring in.
It's not that we don't have the equipment or the manpower, it's just the conditions haven't permitted it. We couldn't get up the valleys.
Two people have been killed in Boulder County and one in Colorado Springs. Another person is missing. Dams and rivers are overflowing and multiple buildings have sustained water damage, Ron.
Jessica, Russia put its diplomatic alternative to a U.S. attack on Syria on the table in Switzerland.
Expectations are high.
Secretary of State John Kerry, on his meetings with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, said the talks must produce an agreement that is comprehensive, verifiable, and timely.
This is not a game.
And Kerry says the U.S. does not retract the threat of military force. At the White House, Press Secretary Jay Carney would not comment directly on reports that the administration has begun adding lethal military supplies to its aid to Syrian rebels, except to say,
it's important to note that both the political and the military opposition are and will be receiving this assistance.
The president approved lethal military aid back in the spring.
Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz at the White House. DeMarquise Elkins got a life prison sentence from a judge in Georgia. He's the teenager who was found guilty last month of shooting and killing a year-old baby right in front of the little boy's mother. His lawyers have appealed the conviction. A spectacular fire burning in Seaside Heights on the New Jersey shore.
The damage is almost completely on the boardwalk, impacting about 20 or so businesses.
Governor Chris Christie, the crews say the fire started in an ice cream shop that had been damaged last fall during Superstorm Sandy. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Early Prime, breaking down business news and its impact on your bottom line. Your World with Neil Camuto.
That's how I do business. That's why I am this.
Bold positions and brash opinions on the topics America is buzzing about. The Five.
How do you think this will set in with the American people?
This will be the pulse of the nation.
Washington insight and political know-how from the best in the Beltway. Special report with Brett Baer.
The epicenter of the political world is here.
The number one place for fair and balanced coverage. Fox News Channel.
What's wrong with working hard
to make our lives and our kids' lives better?
Nothing.
At Fox Business, we don't have a problem with success. We have a very big problem with those who get in the way of it.
We don't come out of the box bashing those who make money.
Just the politicians stealing it and the bureaucracy wasting it.
We're not just sitting behind a desk. We're out in the field, on the floor, with the folks. Because when a story moves forward, so do we.
Fox Business, the power to prosper. Check your local listings.
A judge has ordered a county in one eastern state to stop processing applications for gay marriages.
An official documents registrar in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia, has issued marriage licenses to 174 same-sex couples since June, despite a state law that says marriage is only between a man and a woman. Registrar Bruce Haynes started doing this after the U.S. Supreme Court declared parts of the federal defense of marriage law unconstitutional. Now, a state judge says DOMA makes no difference, that Registrar Haynes hasn't got the power to decide which laws to uphold and which to ignore. Where does that leave the 174 couples with licenses? That's not clear yet. Steve Taylor, Fox News Radio.
House Speaker John Boehner is hearing the calls for legislative action to prevent a government shutdown.
There's all this speculation about these deadlines that are coming up. I'm well aware of the deadlines. So are my colleagues.
Boehner canceled a vote yesterday on a continuing resolution. Tea Party conservatives said they would not support spending on President Obama's health care reform. The current spending resolution expires at the end of the month. In 140 characters or fewer, Twitter will be going public and selling stock.
The popular social media platform tweeted the news, of course, saying it has confidentially submitted an S-1 to the SEC for a planned initial public offering. The San Francisco company's move has long been expected. Twitter recently ramped up its advertising products and this week announced it acquired MoPub, a mobile ad network, for $350 million. Sources say Goldman Sachs will be the lead underwriter for the stock sale. Twitter's IPO is anticipated to be the highest-profile public offering since Facebook back in May 2012. In New York, Jolene Kent, Fox News Radio.
Using hundreds of helium balloons, Jonathan Trapp of North Carolina took off from Maine. He's trying to get across the Atlantic, a feat that no one has done that way. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
The future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope. Bringing the nation back. One photo at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. Hope you're still with us after the break. Now, here in a minute, I'm going to tell you exactly what I would do in Syria. But one thing I wanted to remind you, and if you haven't heard, if you didn't hear me at the top of the hour, there's a football team in Tennessee that really needs your help. There's some of their team members that when they go home from school on Friday and go back to school on Monday, they don't eat at all. So any meal they get in between when they leave school on Friday to Monday is much, much needed. But let me tell you about some of these kids. You don't want them to go to school or over the weekend hungry. You don't want that at all. So what I'm asking is for a business or individuals to pony up $220, and that will feed the whole team for a pregame meal. That's one more meal that you get. That will feed the entire team. We just need 6 pregame meals. If you email me at aaron@aaronmccready.com, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at Aaron McCready, AaronMccready.com, and I will give you all the information. I'll hook you up with the restaurant that's helping us out with this, and then also get you in touch with the appropriate people. But I don't ask much. The show's free. I've never, ever asked for anything. But maybe a couple of you can help out. Now, back with the rest of the program. If you want to be a part of the show, 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. You're always welcome to follow me on Twitter. I'm very provocative on there. At Aaron McCready. And go to my website, aaronmccready.com. Now, back to Syria, and then we're going to hop on Obamacare for the final few minutes of the show. I had an epiphany just before the news on what I would do with Syria, and I've been on the fence. I can see it both ways. You know, we're the moral authority of the world, at least we used to be. And as you heard going into the break, awful, awful things that the Syrian people have to go through when they got gassed. And you just heard it on there. You didn't see the video. Seeing the video is 10 times worse. Unfortunately, I've seen the video. But one thing, you know, I've been on the fence whether we should or not. But I have come to the opinion that we should not go into Syria. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't think if we went into Syria and we toppled that regime and we helped the Syrians out, that they'd be grateful, that they would show gratitude, that they would remember where their freedom came from. I don't think that would happen. I don't think the culture of the Middle East in those countries is such that they want democracy. I think freedom scares them to death. I really do. And so I don't think they'd be grateful or show gratitude. And why should we risk men and women's lives, sons and daughters, for something that we don't even know if they would show gratitude or be grateful for? you disagree with me, give me a call, 646-200-3400. That's where I stand. Now, I'm going to switch gears. Obamacare. That's in the news right now, too, again. We may have a government shutdown in a month or so if we don't get our act together here. We've got the Tea Party going after the established Republican Party. And you know what? I'm very frustrated. Now, my show description says, unafraid and aggressive, Aaron will take on anyone, including Republicans. Well, guess what? Here's where I'm taking you on, Republicans, fellow conservatives. We have no worse enemy right now than ourselves. Look at you up there in Washington fighting. You got the Tea Party going after the Republican Party. The Republican Party saying the Tea Parties are just a bunch of goofs, backwoods, hillbillies. They don't know anything. And then we got Boehner up there, our fabulous. He's just great, let me tell you. Speaker of the House. He doesn't have a backbone. He needs to resign as well. Him and John Kerry can have a bon voyage party in the Capitol. And, you know, we need to defund Obamacare. I've got 10 ways right now, and this comes from the Heritage Foundation, 10 ways that Obamacare is not working. I'm going to share a few of those with you real quick. Waivers. Obama has issued temporary waivers for Obamacare. There's taxpayers' subsidies for Congress. The employer mandate, they stopped that and announced now they have till 2015, so it's a whole year. A whole year's worth of delays. Pre-existing conditions, now get this. Some sick children that when you apply for coverage, they say, oh, no, we don't include pre-existing conditions. Well, Democratic staffers have admitted that as the law is written, and this comes again from the Heritage Foundation, that Obamacare would, quote, still would be able to refuse new coverage to children because of pre-existing medical problems. And then get this, and this is what I want to share with you, a big one too. There's some tobacco penalties. I don't know if you know this, there's tobacco penalties. And I'm going to hit you with a huge one after I tell you this. If you smoke, and I'm sure all you backwoods Obama supporters out there that voted for him, thank you for this mess, by the way. And I apologize, I shouldn't say backwoods. But I believe right now in this day and age, if you smoke, knowing what it does to you, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. And the people that voted for Obama the second time around, maybe not the first, you know, like they say, if the dog bites you once, shame on the dog. The dog bites you twice, shame on you. But if you voted for him a second time after what we went through the first 4 years, then I do question your intelligence. And if you're smoking, I question your intelligence. So I think a lot of tobacco smokers may have voted for Obama. But anyhow, there's some tobacco penalties. It allows insurance companies to charge smokers 50% more in premiums. But last year, because of a computer glitch, those penalties were delayed for a year. So guess what? The non-smokers get to pay for the smokers. Thank you, smokers. Appreciate that. And then here's another thing. Now, what party in the United States, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, if you're independent, we'll say independent too, which of those parties is against showing citizenship of the United States to be able to vote. Now, I do not understand why people would be against showing that you're a United States citizen and that that you can vote legally in a United States election. I mean, that's just basic. I mean, my goodness, you have to show ID when you go buy alcohol. You have to show ID, you tobacco smokers, when you go buy tobacco. Heck, even if you buy a lighter, you have to show ID. So you're going to go vote and choose leaders of this country and the direction of this country, but you don't have to show ID, really? But anyways, the Democrats are against that. Why? Because the illegals, yes, illegals, if you're in this country and you're not documented, you are here illegally and you are a criminal. Period. I don't care about this undocumented worker crap. An undocumented worker is a criminal. There's laws that say what you have to do to come into this country and work. Things you have to do to be here legally. If you don't do those things, you're here illegally. If you're doing things illegal, what are you? You're a criminal. Come on, right? If I'm going down the interstate and I'm going 90 miles an hour, which I have been known to do, I'm breaking the law. At that point in time, I am a criminal. Once I slow down and go under the speed limit, I'm no longer breaking the law. Now, if the illegals go out of the country and do things the right way and come back in, they're no longer illegal. But anyways, my whole point before I went on that tirade was, guess what? Part of Obamacare, you have got to show United States citizenship. You got to show documentation that you're a United States citizen to get health care. That comes from the Democrats. So all the people out there that are voting but shouldn't be voting because you're not United States citizens, and we know what's happening. Guess what? You're not going to get health care. Be covered for health care. I'll rephrase that. Be covered for health care. I'm going to repeat that one more time. With Obamacare, you will have to show ID to prove that you're a United States citizen. So it does, you know, if you're from Canada and you're working here illegally, if you're from Mexico and working here illegally, Italy, Spain, England, I don't care. I'm not just because I'm saying illegals, I'm not necessarily just talking about Mexicans. Don't take me wrong like that. Mexico's not the only other country besides America. But the Democrats want you to be able to vote because they want you to keep them in power, but they don't want to spend money for you on health care. How does that make you feel? Kind of makes you feel like they turned their back on you, huh? They got what they wanted out of you, but they're not going to take care of you. You shouldn't be voting anyways. Really. But so we've got that. Also, there's an honor system in place with Obamacare. And the administration in July announced that it's placing most Americans on the honor system when it came to verifying their income and access to employer-provided health coverage. The honor system. Also, tax disclosures, bear with me here. And again, this is from the Heritage Foundation. You can find it on their website. Section 9002 of Obamacare requires employers to report the value of workers' health insurance on W-2 filings effective for all taxable years after December 31st, 2010. The administration, though, has delayed this. They have delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed all this. But you know what? Barack Obama doesn't even know what's in this health care bill because he keeps delaying this. And listen to what Nancy Pelosi said.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it away from the fog of the controversy.
We need to pass the bill so we can see what's in it. Let's pass something so we can see what's in it. Let's make it a law, and then we'll find out what's in it. Let's make it a law, then we'll find out what we have to abide by. Let's not read it first. Let's not know first. Let's not have a debate on it to make it, you know, if we want to have health care, national health care, let's not read it to make it better. Let's just force it down the American people's throat. You know, let's listen to her again. Pass the bill to see what's in it. Nancy Pelosi.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it away from the fog of the controversy.
Do I even need to continue with the show after hearing that? Do I even talk about Obamacare anymore? But then the Tea Party, well, and the Republicans, they say they want to defund Obamacare. Now, in about a month, Congress needs to come up with a budget. And if we don't, according to John Boehner, Speaker of the House, if we do not pass a budget, then the government's going to shut down. Now, what has to be part of that budget? Well, Obamacare is a law, and we need to figure out a way to pay for Obamacare. Now, if we don't do that, if we don't pay for Obamacare, we can't pass a budget, then the government has got to shut down. What causes a shutdown? It occurs when funding measures from day-to-day operations of the federal government expire and Congress and the President do not agree on how spending levels. They don't come to an agreement on spending levels. Now, back in 1995, when we had a shutdown, 800,000 government workers were furloughed. Now, I'm all about less government, and I don't know that really if the government shut down, if that would really be a crime. And we're going to still have, you know, vital services. We're still going to have the Department of Defense. That's going to be funded. Power grid, it's going to still be maintained. The Border Patrol, Coast Guard, air traffic controllers, inpatient and emergency outpatient medical care, other vital services will still be continued. But like in 1995, we shut down 368 national parks closed. Passport applications were slowed down. Visa applications were slowed down. Bankruptcy cases were affected. But for you libertarians out there that want limited government and government stay out of your way, maybe a government shutdown is what we need. If we're going to defund Obamacare, we cannot be afraid of a government shutdown, John Boehner. If we're going to defund Obamacare, we need to have a spine. And you wonder why the Tea Party took off like it did? Because the Republicans up on Capitol Hill went to Capitol Hill saying they were for the people. And they went up there and they got into the Washington mentality, the Washington crowd. The corruption seeped in on them, and they don't care. They forgot who got them elected. So then the Tea Party emerges and up there fighting for the people. And they seem to still remember who put them in office. And the Republicans are encountered with the Tea Party. It's like we're having a civil war within the Republican Party. We need to get it together. Because if we keep this bickering, we keep this arguing, it's going to cause us to get defeated. And the Democrats, and we see how that's working out for us, the Democrats will win majority in the House for the next go-around. Do we really want that? I don't want that. Look what's happened so far. Look what mess we're in right now. We don't know what to do about Syria. We don't even know how to respond to Syria. We've got a president who looks weak to the Soviet Union. I'm sorry, not Soviet Union, Russia. Might as well be the Soviet Union. That's where Putin wants them to be, like the Soviet Union. You have Putin, which is a thug and an ex-KGB operative, looks smarter and is just socking it to Barack Obama. You know, next week we're going to have an episode. Now, I want everybody to listen to me right now, and you need to really listen to this episode that's coming up next week on the show. It's next Wednesday. We're going to have Karna Bodman on the show. Show starts at 9. She'll be on at 9:05. She was in the White House with Reagan. And when she left the White House staff, she was the top woman White House staffer. She met daily with the president. She flew on Air Force One with the president. She gave intelligence reports to the president. She spoke on behalf of the United States in multiple countries, met with Pope John Paul. We're going to have her on the show. We're going to talk to her about Syria. And everybody likes to talk about Ronald Reagan and how what a great president he was. And he was an awesome president, a great president. But you know what? We're going to really hear it from a person that met with him on a daily basis, talked with him on a daily basis, interacted with him on a daily basis. Not these congressmen that met with him once or twice or every once in a while and think they know what Ronald Reagan would do. We're going to get it straight from somebody that talked with him daily, Karna Bodman. And we're going to get it from her. Then also next week, we're going to have Jack Caravelli back on the show to talk about intelligence again and what's going on with Syria and anything else in that part of the world. But if you really want to know what Ronald Reagan would do, you need to listen to the show. I believe it's Wednesday the 18th, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We're in a mess right now. And I don't know how long it's going to take before we can get out of it at the rate we're going. I mean, look what a mess we're in. We have a Democratic Party that has a president in the White House that looks weak to the Russia. Can you believe it? We have a Republican Party that has so much infighting going on. They're so dysfunctional. I mean, it looks like they almost cancel each other out, how bad they are. But you know what it's going to take? Unless each of us takes an active part in government, writes our congressmen, holds them accountable. And I say this all the time, and I know you get tired of hearing it, oh, Aaron, don't talk about this again, you're going to make us vomit. But I really consider us on the board of a large organization. We are on the board of this organization. The president's at the top. We get to pick the CEO. And we get to pick the congressman. They work for us. They need more humility. They aren't doing us any favors by being in office. They think they're so high and mighty. They're not doing us any favors up there. So when you see your congressman or your senator at a town hall meeting, and they think that they're so much better, you remind them who put them in office, who pays their salary. We need to take an active part in government. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you like the Democratic Party. I don't care if you like the Republican Party. As long as you're taking an active part, because that's what makes America so great, is that everybody with all our ideas, we come from different places. We come from all over the world to make this great experiment work. this experiment that we call America. And we need to take an active part. America can be great again. It can be really great again. But it's going to take each one of us to make America great. Do we have it in us? I don't know. I'm afraid in order for us all to come together as Americans, I hope and pray it doesn't take another 9/11. Because that's the last time I really saw us come together as Americans. I hope that's not what it takes. And if we don't come together and that doesn't happen, then we may be doomed as a country. We're the greatest country on earth. We need to act like it. We need to take ownership. We need to be patriots. Thanks for joining us. Be back here Wednesday, September 18th at 9 o'clock. Karna Podman, Top Reagan Sackler's going to be on here. We're going to talk to her for a little bit. Again, email me, Aaron@AaronMcCready, if you want to help out that football team. If you want to be a guest on the show, go to bookings@AaronMcCready.com. It's been a great pleasure and privilege to talk to each one of you tonight. And we'll see you next week.